and turn to the book of Ephesians. And I'll be reading just the text that we'll be preaching on this morning. Verses 16 and 17. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The title of this morning's message is Christ Our Prophet. It says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Let us pray. Father, we confess to you this morning that salvation is of the Lord, and that no man can convert a soul, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, that the Spirit has come to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and that through the powerful Spirit of God, the voice of our Savior Himself is He which preaches to our souls, and He which feeds us. It is He who we glorify, Father, Your Son. And Father, as He is our prophet, that prophet prophesied to come long ago, we give You praise that we can hear His voice. Thank You, Father. Help us to hear, to listen, and to obey. Help us to listen and to hear the voice of God. For without hearing the voice of God, if we only hear the voice of men here this morning, we shall not obey. We shall serve our own lusts. But, O God, if You would give us the grace to even give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. God, that You would give us that ability to hear Your voice. When we hear the voice of God, we have no choice but to obey. O Father, hear our prayer and may we hear Your voice, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. We come to a text this morning that is invigorating to me. In verse 17, we read that Christ came and He preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. Of course, He's applying this to the context of the Jews and the Gentiles who seem to be close to God in the illustration of the temple where we're at here. But and those to the Gentiles which seem to be far off. But what is peculiar about this verse is that this is preached to the Ephesian church. And that Christ is preaching, Christ is said to be preaching Himself to the Ephesians, to both the Jews that were there and to the Gentiles that were there. And what we find is that Christ applied to us, Christ comes by the Spirit, and He Himself it is who preaches to you and to me. And that is why, as a Christian, you can go to hear any gospel preacher, any one of them. And if you are attuned to the voice of the Son of God, you will feed on Him. I've always scratched my head on those who criticize preachers. Now, I understand if you're looking at them as a Berean and to make sure and certain that they're preaching the Word of God. But it is Christ's voice we come to hear, not any man. Amen? It is Christ. I think of this wonderful illustration at the Transfiguration with the two greatest prophets that have ever lived, Moses and Elijah at the Transfiguration. And the voice comes from heaven and says, with these two great voices here, the Father says, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We've not come to hear Moses or Elijah. We've come to hear the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We've come to hear Christ preach. It is Christ, by the power of His Spirit, that preaches to us. And so, my message this morning is very simple to you. It is, listen to the voice of Christ. Christ has come and made it possible for even us to have ears to hear and eyes to see. He's come and substituted Himself. We read that this wall of partition, the hostility, the enmity, the hatred, not only that we have for God, but that God has for us and for our sins. The Bible says in John 3:36 that His wrath abides on us. And what could it be that God could speak to us in friendly terms? Speak to us as a friend. How could that happen? We're going to find out today that it is by the cross that the enmity is abolished, not only between Jew and Gentile, between man and man, but between man and God. And so the first point is this. We're going to see the miracle of hearing Christ's voice. Have you ever had something with your ears where you couldn't hear? Have you ever had some time where it just, you didn't hear right, everything was muffled, or maybe your hearing seemed to be altogether gone? Do you remember what it was like to finally be able to hear clearly? Or those of you who have glasses, do you remember what it was like maybe this week or last month when you lost your glasses and you're looking all over and you just can't start your day? Why? Because you can't see clearly. You're groping in the darkness. And friends, it is a miracle that any one of us can hear the voice of Jesus Christ. It is a miracle that any one of us can see Christ as He is and not paint Him to be something in our own image, but to see Him as He is and to humble ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us. So as we consider the miracle of hearing Christ's voice, let us consider the enmity that we read about here in our text. We read here in chapter 2 and verse number 16, it says, actually verse 15, it says that Christ has abolished in His flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Here, of course, so obviously what we all see and what we all think of when we think of hostility, we think of it on a human level. We think of human hostility. We think of human conflicts. Remember, we have learned that there is a middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. And remember that we took a journey to the temple in Christ's day. And what did we see there? The Jews were separated from the Gentiles. The priests were separated from the common people. The males were separated from the females. And what do we have a tendency to do as humans? When there's all these differences and divisions, what do we have the tendency to do? We compare. You know what comparing breeds? Envy, jealousy, strife, hostility, enmity. And there's all of these walls dividing them, dividing all of these people. Oh, the enmity that was there between those people. And here this morning, there is most certainly enmity. As long as there is sin and pride, there is hostility and hatred. And we may say, oh, I'm really praying for so-and-so to get their heart right. Right? If they just saw it, the way I know it is, because I'm right, if they could only see things from my point of view, that they're so wrong. Do you see the problem with that equation? The enmity that we have is not with that person and that person and that person over there. Christ came to abolish the enmity by His cross in His flesh, not so that you could have a good relationship with your neighbor. Oh yes, you will. That is a byproduct. You will even love your enemies. But Christ came to take down the hostility, not primarily between you and your fellow man. He came to take down the wall of partition, that wall of hostility between you and your God. He came to reconcile both by the cross so that they would be a new humanity. Do you ever feel like you can't relate to this old humanity? You turn on the television and you say, I didn't even get that commercial. I don't even understand what they're trying to say. Some of you are truly in bliss. You don't even have a television. That is the best way to live. Or maybe you have one and you don't have connection to all of that stuff. You just can't relate to this old humanity. But you could go across the world. You could go on a plane where someone doesn't even speak your language and you see them reading a Bible and you have unity with them because Christ has made two one. Amen? There is a new humanity. What a miracle that we can hear the voice of the Son of God. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And you know when another person is following Christ, you're part of a new race. You're not in Adam anymore. You're in the second Adam. You are in Christ. In Adam, all what? They die. But in Christ shall all be made alive. What a miracle that Christ would slay this enmity. He would abolish it by His cross. By the work on the cross. And we're going to get into that. But you see, it's not just human hostility that separates us from hearing God's voice. It's most certainly divine hostility. And it is not just that we are put off with God by nature. That is true. What is more serious and more grave and more frightening, it actually should be absolutely terrorizing to our souls, is that not only are we put off by God, but God is put off by us. You see, the Jews and Gentiles, the conflict there was not primarily on the earthly level, and neither are any of your conflicts. Our sins have separated us from our God. And the fact of the matter is that we are all, by nature, a stench in God's nostrils. You say, how can you speak to me like that? Tell me of the love of God. I cannot tell you of the love of God until you will understand that you are an offense to the holy, righteous, living God. You say, I'm not that bad. The fact of the matter is if you will simply be schooled by the law. You go to school with the law, with God's law, the law that reflects God's holy character, His righteousness. If you will go to school with the law, oh, that schoolmaster will tell you that you are a lying, thieving, blasphemous, rebellious, idolater in your heart. And you will be humbled. God resists the proud, but He gives what? Grace. He gives grace. He gives grace to the humble. And so when you see this wall of partition and that our sins have separated us from our God, do not think of the wall as neutral. It's not simply a wall of stone. It is a wall of hostility. Not only human hostility against God, but God's hostility. Friends, that's what wrath is. That is what wrath is. God's wrath abides on all those who have not bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. And how could it be any other way? We like to imagine ourselves to be better than what we are. We think, well, I'm not as bad as the devils. And that's very true. You're not as bad as the devils. You're worse than the devils. You are worse than the devils because you have been given the message of Jesus Christ. Do you remember before you were saved how many times you resisted and you resisted and you resisted and you said no? How many devils is God drawing to Himself today? How many? Zero. And yet God was drawing you and drawing. You said no, you said no, you said no, you said no. And one day, by sovereign grace, you said yes. Amen? You said yes to God. And the wall came down. And God's hatred for you and your sin. Oh, it wasn't like it was just forgotten about. No, no, no. It will. Your sin will never be forgotten about. Friends, when you see the nail prints in His hands, for all of eternity, you will know that He has slain the hostility by His cross. What a miracle it is to hear the voice of the Son of God. Amen? What a miracle. God doesn't redeem devils. He redeems beings who are worse than devils. What a miracle. So we see the enmity. Secondly, we see the covenant. And we will really see this a little clearer in the weeks to come as we read in verses 18 and 19. Let's just read that. It says, "For through Him, through Christ, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." That is covenant language. We have access to the Father by one Spirit. Think of the Jews and the Gentiles outside of that Holy of Holies. They couldn't get access, could they? They could not get access but by Jesus Christ. God can bring us by His Spirit. Now listen to this. The basis by which any one of us can have any kind of communion with God. Now listen to this. Is based from before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain. And it is based on the Spirit of God looking at that sacrifice that the Holy Spirit, a holy God, a thrice holy God, amen? A thrice holy God can go into your wicked, filthy, dirty heart. Otherwise, it would be the opposite poles of a magnet. God could never go near you. All He could do is throw you in the hell that you deserve. But He looks at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God, His wounds, plead for those that the Father has given unto the Son. They plead, they demand that you, sinner, will be given to the care of the sacrifice. And the Spirit of God smells the sweet savor of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And He goes into your heart and He pleads and He pleads and He hammers and the Word of God becomes alive. That which was dull, that which was dead, that which you had no eyes to see or ears to hear comes alive. And you are converted and you are healed. And you are a new creation. And old things pass away and all things become new. And you are united with your enemies. Some of us, if we were lost, would probably be fighting one another. Isn't that right? It's mine. No, it's mine. No, I did better than you did. I played better than you. Wouldn't we be having those arguments? Why is it that we can be peacemakers? Because Christ has made peace with us. The Spirit of God has convinced us, and He can only deal with us on the basis of the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's the propitiation for our sins. The wrath of God is satisfied in Jesus Christ. The hostility is satisfied in Jesus Christ. What a miracle it is to hear the voice of the Son of God. We read in John 5:25 that the dead hear the voice of the Son of God and they live. And oh, that voice can be heard on the basis of a covenant made before the foundation of the world, made that the Lamb would be slain. And we can say, as Revelation 5:13, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. And so we see the miracle that comes, the miracle of hearing the voice of Christ. And secondly, we see the message that comes from Christ's voice. The message that comes from Christ's voice. Of course, we know of many prophets in the Old Testament, do we not? And we think primarily of Moses as that prophet of the Old Testament. But Moses prophesied of another prophet, didn't he? In Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses reports the words of the Lord. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Now notice two things in that verse. Number one, this prophet is like us. He's like unto that thy brethren. He's human. But what else is he like? It says, like unto me. And so this is the God-man. If you'll turn over to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, you will see that Peter and John preached to a crowd of people after they had healed this man. And as they preached the gospel, they referred to this passage in Deuteronomy. They had just seen this man healed. They didn't have silver or gold, but they said what they had they would give to them, to that man. And that man was healed, and we read the message that the apostles preached. This is Peter, but he's with John. And he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ. Think about the times of refreshing. Remember, we've read in Isaiah about those waters that run. That is speaking of the times of refreshing, speaking of Jesus Christ. And it says, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, that is, the new heaven and the new earth, when the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. It says, which God hath spoken of by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Verse 22, now key in on this. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Turn over to John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Whoever does not kiss the Son has to deal with the wrath of the Son, as Psalm 2 says. Jesus Christ is the prophet, and He is preaching today. His voice is going out into all the world. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, we read that God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. The voice of the Son of God is speaking to us today through the Word of God. And we read on. I believe this is Paul writing. He goes on to say that Christ is the brightness of His, that is the Father's glory, and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. So we see that this prophet was prophesied to come, and he came. And he comes into the world to preach to the nations. But secondly, we see not only the past, we see our peace. We see our peace because in verse 16 we read that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And we read in verse 17, and came and preached to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. It says that He preached peace. The word preached is the word it's the verb good news. He good newsed the peace. He gave the good news of peace. That's what He did. And so He abolished the enmity for all people. Did He abolish the enmity for all people? Certainly not. For then no one would be in hell. No human being would be in hell. He abolished the enmity for His people. He came to save His people from their sins. And why are we God's people and others are not? Why have I been saved and my oldest brother, Scott, has not been saved? Because I'm better than my brother? Because I had a tender heart, more tender than my brother's heart? Is that why I was saved? I'm just as hardened like the Israelites were hardened. It wasn't because of me. It was for His own pleasure. It was by His own grace. It was for His own purpose. It was by His own design. And all I can say is, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind. Friends, do you see? Do you hear the voice of the Son of God? It's by grace. Free, unmerited grace. That is what He's preaching. There is reconciliation. There is peace. The idea of this reconciliation, it's a rich word. It means to go from a point of hostility to the point of friendship. To go from hostility to the point of friendship. Not just that you were hostile towards God. That is really insignificant in God's economy. It is really insignificant. What argument do you have with the Almighty? Zero. What is significant is that God had hostility toward you, and that based on the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, He has reconciled Himself to you. So Christ is our peace, but look at this in verse 17. He is our proclamation. He came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. One of the titles of Christ in Isaiah 9:6 is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Reconciliation. And when Christ preaches, He preaches Himself. He is the message. Christ is the gospel. Christ as a person is the good news. That is why if you're here today, listen to me. Father, listen to me. Mother, Please listen to me, grandmother and grandfather. Please listen to me, anyone who has any influence on children or anyone else. Please listen to me. Fill your children's heads with knowledge, and you will turn them into devils that are 10 times worse than people in the world. Devils, scorners. That's what you'll turn them into if you only give them knowledge. But if you will give them Christ, they will have eternal life. They will be made holy by God. Our creed is not all of these things about God. All those things are true. We can definitely scientifically analyze them. But all of that analysis is for naught. It's nothing. If you are not basking in the person of Jesus Christ, if it's not connected to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ is the message. In the beginning was He was the Word. The Word, the message, the Logos, the logic, everything makes sense with this message. He's the message. He Himself is the message. We preach Christ Jesus, Him crucified. That's the basis of reconciliation. That's the basis where the hostility that God has towards us can be satisfied. Christ preaches Himself. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This one who in the beginning says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the one who in the beginning said, "Let there be light." And everything came into existence. This one was made flesh. He dwelt among us. And He lived a perfect life. He died a sacrificial death. He rose again, sat on the throne of David. And now at this time, He's reconciling the world unto Himself. He's preaching Himself through preachers, evangelists, and every Christian that there is. The Great Commission, Christ said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to" what? Every creature. When we preach the good news, who are we preaching? And who is preaching? We open our mouths and who preaches? You are in union with Christ. A Christian is one who is in union with Christ. And you, in union with Christ, you are ambassadors for Christ. And Christ is reconciling the world unto Himself. So we see this great miracle that we can hear the voice of the Son of God. Then we see the message that Christ is the message. He is our peace, as our text says. And then we come to the magnitude of Christ's voice. In verse 17, we read that Christ came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were nigh. The magnitude of the voice of Christ is not given to just you, just me, just my family, just one nation. The gospel is gone into all of the world. Why did I go to Spain? Why did I? Because I like, because I like seafood. I loved the seafood that we had in Spain. It was wonderful, and in the mountains, the Pyrenees mountains were gorgeous. It rained all the time. That was one bad thing, but it was green. It was gorgeous. Then we moved to Madrid, and it was hot. But we didn't go to Spain for amenities. We didn't go to Spain to look at the trees. I can look at trees here. I can eat seafood, though it's not as good as in Spain. I can do all of that here. Why do you leave family? Why do you get up early on Saturday mornings, some of you men, and you go out to evangelistic team? Because you like going up to complete strangers and confronting them with things that they may or may not understand? We go into all the world because Jesus can save anybody. Amen? Amen. Jew, Gentile, heroin addict, divorcee, You have committed murder. God can save you. You have committed adultery. God can save you. You have stolen things. The government may not forgive you, but God can forgive you. God can reconcile anybody. The fallacy of the Jews was that they thought that there was something in them that appealed to God. That was so far from the truth. The Jews were a stench in God's nostrils, much more than the Gentiles. God's wrath is upon heathen. Isn't that right? People who are fools, who do not acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. But in a greater way, God's wrath is upon hypocrites even more. His anger seethes against those who say that they know Christ with their mouth, but in their heart they deny Him. But you know what? God can save heathens, and God can also save hypocrites. Amen? There's some of you who were church members here. And for 2, 3, 4 years, you sat here, you said that you were saved, and one day, God convicted you of your sins, and you realized that you were not saved. You were a hypocrite. Some of you, can you identify with that? You were a member of this church, but you didn't know Christ. And some of you are lost here today. I don't know who you are, but your fruits make you known. By your fruits you shall be known. Maybe you're here and you're a hypocrite today. I want to extend a miracle to you. I want to give you the message. I want to give you Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, you hypocrite, you who say everything right when you come to this place and you do everything that your wicked heart wants to do when you're outside of this place, God can reconcile you. Oh, may God grant that today. May you sense His conviction and the desire of love on your heart. Break that hardened heart. And may God draw you with cords of love to Himself. God came to redeem, to preach the gospel to every creature, and every one of you is redeemable. God can save anybody. Do you believe that? Amen. Then listen to this. If you believe that, you need to pray like that. We are prayerless people. We do not pray and we wonder why people are not saved. Or we pray sporadically. That's okay. God will even answer those prayers because He's such a gracious God. But oh, how we ought to fervently hunger for the conversion of souls, conversion of sinners. We ought not to be satisfied. We ought to be giving Jesus, the gospel, the message to every creature, because He can make enemies into friends. Amen? He can reconcile murderers to be saints. He can do anything. I don't care what you've committed. I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sin. There's no reason you should leave this building today under the weight of even one sin. No matter how little or how big, there's no reason you should leave this building under the weight of any sin. Be fully reconciled to God. If you have not turned your heart to God, pray that God would turn your heart to Him. Pray that God would do the work. Even now, pray. If you are not certain that if you were to die, even now, that you would be in the glorious presence of Jesus, and you would be so happy to see Him, and He would be so happy to see you, if you are not certain of that, make sure of it today. Don't leave this place. Don't leave this place unreconciled. You, Christian, now I talk to you. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't say that you know reconciliation with Jesus Christ when you're not reconciled to your brother or your sister or your friend. You may have to stay here and reconcile with a church member. You may have to get on the phone. You can use this phone. We'll pay for that call. and you call that friend, that brother, don't make excuses. And you get reconciled. You be at peace with all men because you're at peace with God. Don't leave here in any other condition. Let's stand together. Christ has come. He has come to preach peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh. He can reconcile anybody to Himself. And I'd ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want to appeal to you this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to know that if you will repent of your sin, what is repentance? It means you hate your sin and you turn away from it. You stop lying, thieving, being adulterous, being rebellious against authority, being critical over everybody. You know how it is. And stop making excuses. You say, I can't do that. That's exactly right. Cast your whole destiny on Jesus Christ. That's faith. And cling to Him. Fall on Him. Repent and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be saved.